But the thing that really needs healing above all is the condition of our heart, that condition of sin. That is truly the thing that needs atonement, because our physical conditions can be healed. But if our hearts are not healed, the time that we spend on this earth is minimal in comparison to the time that we have in eternity. So we can be healed from ailments here on earth. But what goes even further, what stretches out even longer, is our healing spiritually. And because of the stripes, the blows that Jesus received during that time, that redeemed us. It restored us. It paid our debt for us to be healed spiritually from moral decay, spiritual disease, and sickness. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Hannah, a singer, speaker, writer, mentor, and certified biblical counselor. I'm also the face behind the Marked brand. My calling is to speak healing, life, and the truth of Jesus Christ to wounded spirits and souls, and to create a multifaceted platform where daughters, sisters, mothers, and wives can lean toward being totally freed from the emotional wounds, mindsets, and heart sets that bind us. The Marked brand is one that was birthed to nurture, equip, admonish, and ignite the woman of God whose aim is pure intimacy, deep emotional healing, and resolute holiness in her heart and home. The Marked brand is comprised of rich faith-based products, services, and resources for women, including the Marked Store, the She's Marked podcast, the Marked Life blog, and Marked Worship. I'm so glad that you're listening today. This is the She's Marked podcast, and healing happens here. Hello, ladies, and welcome back to part two of the Best of the Best reruns. I have been enjoying doing this little summer switch up where I am going back in the archives and seeing what you all have loved the most, what you have listened to the most, and bringing it back to the forefront. It has been great, again, as I mentioned in last month's episode, just seeing the growth, seeing the process. It can be hard sometimes when you're in something to actually see it evolving and moving. And so when you, the nice thing is that when you're able to keep track of something, I don't know if you all journal, I don't know if you all love pictures as much as I do, but when you're able to look back at something, you really see the difference. You see the journey for what it is. And that can be so encouraging, especially in those seasons where you're feeling stagnant or you feel like things aren't really happening. And then you get this eye opener that, yes, they are in fact happening. And so last month we recapped on episode, I believe it was 003, Understanding Who God Is. And today we are bringing it back to episode 005. Our healing is activated by the blood of Jesus. And so this episode was aired as the pandemic was just taking off. We were in the thick of it. Things were scary. Things were strange. Everything was shut down. And so you'll hear some references to that in the episode. And I'm really speaking from that angle in terms of not just physical healing, which was so needed, especially at that time. But just emotional healing, you know, sometimes or some may have the notion that the blood of Jesus, if you ever heard someone plead the blood of Jesus, you may think of it only in terms of protection. You may think of it in terms of physical healing, but the blood encapsulates all of our needs. We're not just in need physically. We're not just in need for physical protection. But we are in need, our very souls, our minds are in need of healing. And it is only because of Jesus Christ, it is only because of his blood, only because of his sacrifice, it is only because of what he's done that we have hope of true healing, eternal healing, power to overcome the mental oppressions and targets and arrows of the enemy. And so that gives us hope. That alone gives us hope. Another thing that we're going to really be getting into as we move into season 4, which kicks off next month in September, is we're going to be getting into a lot of unpacking. In my own life over the past few months, I have been healed, not in the past few months. I'm getting to my main thought right now, but I want to preface it with saying that I have experienced emotional healing because of the blood of Jesus, because of his saving, because of his truth, because of his light. But, and I've been loving this saying lately, life has been lifing, okay? Because life has been just really lifing for me in the past few months, there are some things that I am seeing that have been trying to just build back up. And so I have to unpack those things. And so I know I'm not the only one. I have friends and we talk and I'm on social media and I read books and I read the news and I read what's going on. And it's just this ebb and flow of life where we have to constantly renew our faith, refresh our faith. We have to go back to the place that we started and remind ourselves of what God has done for us, remind ourselves of where he has brought us from. Wasn't I just saying that with going back in my episodes or going back to those early journal entries or going back and looking at those pictures from years ago? Sometimes we have to go back and see where God has brought us from. Those moments where we feel like doubt is growing higher than our faith. Those moments where the furnace is getting hot. Those moments where we find ourselves in a wilderness. Those moments where we find those default feelings, those default familiar emotions starting to creep back up to the surface because we're being pressed on every side. We have to remember our first love. We have to remember what that blood did for us. We have to remember where he has brought us from. We have to remind ourselves. And in some instances, we have to remind the enemy. We might have to remind people around us who are trying to bring us back, not in a good way, but trying to bring us back to former ways. We have to say, wait a minute. Let me remind you of what God did for me. Let me be reminded of how he set me free. So I will be talking much more about unpacking. We will be unpacking various topics in season 4. And if there's a topic that you would like to hear unpacked here on the She's Marked podcast, please email it to me at shesmarkedpodcast@gmail.com. And while you're at it, go ahead and email me a screenshot of the review that you left for the podcast. You're probably saying, Hannah, what review? I haven't left a review yet. So that's a problem. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, please be a blessing to me and to the other women who are in need of finding this podcast. Leave a review on Apple if that's where you listen. If you're on social media, leave a review on one of my pages. On Instagram, I am at @its_HannahTheBrand. Right now, the page is private, but go ahead and send me a request. Leave a review. And if you're on Facebook, you can find me at @its_Hannah. You can also leave a review on the website at shesmarked.com. I would love to hear from you. But primarily, leave that review on Apple Podcasts. If that's where you're listening, rate and review. And I'd love to thank you by giving you an honorable mention in our upcoming season. If there is a Christian business that you run, it doesn't have to be Christian, but if it's anything crazy, I'm probably not going to promote that. So if you have a decent aligning business, something that you believe that women who would listen to this type of podcast could truly benefit from in some way, please leave me that review, screenshot it, email me it, and I'll be glad to give you an honorable mention. Or if you decide, hey, you don't have a business or you don't want your business mentioned, you can still send me that screenshot via email and you will be blessed with a cup of coffee on me. I will Cash App you the funds. And if you don't have Cash App, then we can talk in the email about the best way to get that cup of coffee to you. So again, thank you all so much for, you know, going back in time with me. Thank you so much for being here in this space. Your listenership means everything. Please keep me in prayer as I approach this new season and as I am really seeking God for clarity and accuracy on my next steps, just in general. I'm so grateful for you, ladies, and I am constantly praying for you. I will continue to constantly pray for you in your journeys as you all are being pruned continually into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And without any further ado, let's get into Best of the Best rerun. Our healing is activated by the blood of Jesus. I first had this idea because of a quote that I did, and you all will see that quote come out probably in a few days after this episode airs, where I was really thinking about emotional healing, because that's one of my main focuses for ministry is emotional healing. And as I was just sitting and thinking and writing and brainstorming, the thought came to me, our emotional healing is activated by the blood of Jesus. Now, that was before things really took off with the COVID-19. So now that things have changed, because I came up with that maybe about a month ago, but now that things have changed so drastically, I was kind of going through my notes and I saw that quote and I kind of said, wait a minute, let's take out the emotional piece. That's included essentially, but our healing is activated by the blood of Jesus. During times like these, our minds wonder and we race with how can we fix this? How can we cure this? How can we come up with a vaccine? How can we protect ourselves? How can we shield ourselves? And so that's why this quote, this thought meant so much more, because nothing is error proof. Nothing is foolproof, especially anything that is made by humans. Humans are prone to error. But I said, my God, in such a time where there is so much uncertainty, there is so much unrest, what is that something that brings that rest that cannot be questioned? It cannot be shaken. It cannot fail. And obviously that is only found in the Lord. It is only found in the Lord Jesus. But there was something that resonated so deeply with the blood of Jesus that I wanted to take the time out today to really focus on that and talk about the blood of Jesus and what it signifies and the power in the blood. So before we can understand the significance of the blood or why blood at all, I think it'll be important to discuss two things. The first is atonement. The second thing is sin. The blood really doesn't have that much relevance to us if we don't understand those two things. So I think that will be a really good starting point. Defining sin. Sin, through standard definition, if you were to go into Google and just type up the definition of sin, which is what I did just to see what it would say, sin is defined as an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law or God's eternal law. Another definition was to err, taken from the word error. And just clicking around and reading some other things, I saw also sin being defined as rebellion. So we'll leave that there for a second. We'll come back to sin in a moment. The second thing to discuss is atonement. And some of the definitions for atonement are recompense, reconcile, repay, make up for, payment, restitution, restoration of something to its original state, amends, and I also saw indemnity. And I decided to click on indemnity because I'm familiar with that term. I used to work in finances, go figure. I can't stand math. I've never liked math, but I did work in finances for a little while at a university, and I dealt a lot with contracts and procurement and things of that nature. And one word that you would always see in contracts on that agreement page, you always saw an indemnity clause. And if there was not an indemnity clause, there was almost always some sort of addendum or attachment to include a clause on indemnity. And so indemnity is defined in three ways. The first is security or protection against a loss. The second is security against or exemption from legal liability for one's actions. Or three, a sum of money paid as compensation, especially a sum exacted by a victor in war as one condition of peace. So I thought those things were really, really significant, considering talking about atonement and sin in terms of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So going back to sin really quickly, how does sin function? Sin defiles. Think of, you know, wearing an all white gown or a robe and spilling a red drink on it. Or think about another fine piece of garment and you accidentally spill oil on it, or you get some sort of weird black car grease on it, it defiles. And in a much bigger scale, it separates us from God. It is any lack of conformity to the moral character of God or the law of God. And sin is deadly. That's why we read in scripture that the wages of sin is death. So once we understand the weight of sin, we understand why atonement was necessary, why repayment or restoration, reconciliation was necessary, because going back to that definition for indemnity, it's a security or protection against a loss, a security against or an exemption from legal liability for one's actions. So because of our sin, because of our defilement, we were legally responsible to pay the wage of sin. What is the wage of sin? It is death. So quickly fast forwarding, we think of Jesus dying on the cross. Sometimes we may even question, well, God is all powerful. Couldn't he have done something else to redeem us? But no, he couldn't, because the wages of sin, the payment for sin, the exchange for sin is death. So something had to die in order to properly repay, recompense, make up for, or return us to our original state. Really quickly, I want to touch on our original state. So in the book of Genesis, when we're reading about creation, and we see where God is creating all sorts of things. We see where, God, the Father, we see where God, the Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are creating things, because repeatedly the scripture reads, made in our image. There's a plural. So it's not just God alone. It's not a singular thing that's going on. It's saying the word our, O-U-R. So it's referencing more than one person. That's kind of the beginning mentions of the Trinity. I don't want to go too deeply into theology today, but we have to be able to recognize and pinpoint that the Trinity was there from the very beginning. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they were there from the very beginning. So anyways, going back to our original state, in that particular scripture in Genesis, it reads, made in our image, meaning humans. Now, a lot of times people will take that to mean physical image, but in some recent study that I did unintentionally, I ended up learning that made in our image refers to our holiness. We were made without blemish. That was the likeness of God. God is holy. He is without blemish. If you listen to, I believe it was my last episode or maybe two episodes ago, when I talked about understanding who God is, I talked quite a bit about God's nature and his holiness. So we were made in God's image, in that we were holy. We were blameless. We were not gods. God did not make us into gods, but we were made holy and blameless before God. So when we understand that we were made in God's image, we were made with that level of holiness, we understand why the hit of sin was so weighty, why it was so heavy, why it impacted so much, and it just couldn't remain. God couldn't just leave it as is. When Adam sinned, when Eve sinned, that changed the course, that introduced death, physical death and spiritual death. It created a wedge between us and God. And that's just not the way that it was supposed to be. That was not God's law. That was not his design. So because it was not his law, because it was not his design, something had to happen for restitution. So when you look in the Old Testament, you see many, many accounts of people bringing offerings. Whenever there was a sin committed, there was a high priest who was holy enough, had to be holy enough, to come and do that offering on behalf of the person who sinned. So we see there was blood that had to be shed, and it couldn't just be any animal. We're not going to get into the deep particulars of the requirements for the animal, but the animal had to be in mint condition, if you will. The animal had to be without blemish. The animal had to be a perfect animal, whether it was a young animal, whether it was from the best pick. It had to be something that was worthy in order to fully recompense, fully repay. So blood had to be shed, because the wages of sin is death. A life had to be exchanged. There is life in blood. So life had to be given. And then when we fast forward through history, We know that Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. When we think of Lamb, we think of that sacrifice. So Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Because the sin in the world, because the sin in mankind was so great, there had to be a great sacrifice for it. And God, in John 3:16, we see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So because of God's love for us, because of Jesus's love for us, Jesus was willing to take sin on his shoulders for all mankind once and for all. And because God loved us so much, he gave his son to become sin. There's another scripture that says, he that knew no sin became sin for us. So that was that atonement. That was that repayment. That was that indemnity, that security or exemption for us from legal liability for our actions. What were those actions? Sin. What is the wages of sin? Death. So that kind of talks a little bit about the function of the blood, a little bit of the function of the blood and the significance of it. There had to be something weighty enough. So because Jesus chose to die in our place and give his blood, that made us exempt from having to face eternal death, eternal separation from God. The blood caused reconciliation between us and God. So now going on to who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is God the Son. His role is the Son, and his identity, substance, position, and nature is God. I really love a recent teaching that I just listened to from my spiritual leader. It was a sermon on who Jesus is, really an in-depth study on who Jesus is. And I know that throughout the ages, there has been a lot of discrediting for the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you look through scripture and if you do your research and you really study, you will see time and time again that Jesus is God. And there are a number of reasons why we come to this conclusion, aside from just what scripture tells us. When you look into scripture and you see the things that Jesus did during his time here on earth, the authority that he had, the command that he had, the ability to forgive sins, we see that because of that authority, Jesus is God. That can be something that's a bit confusing for people, but it's something, again, with time and with study and with revelation from the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to also see and confirm the deity and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that there are some beliefs that completely wipe out the deity of the Lord Jesus as being God. Once you begin to study scripture and you see the countless affirmations in scripture that declare that Jesus is God, it will begin to make more and more sense to you. So let's take a look at some of those scriptures now. John 8:51. Here Jesus was talking with the Jews because they were discrediting his deity and they were accusing him of blasphemy. And in John 8:51, he says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." So how can someone say that they'll never see death? How can they say that someone else or people in general will never see death if they're not coming from a place of authority? In verse 58, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And the significance of "I am" is that was taken from the Old Testament, where God says, "I am." So Jesus was kind of revealing himself as God in that moment when he used those two specific words and he said, "I am." In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And that was foretelling of Jesus's physical birth in the earth in the New Testament. This was mentioned in the book of Isaiah. Daniel 7:14 says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the express image of the person of God and the brightness of God's glory. I suggest that you all read the book of Hebrews in regard to the deity of Jesus. There's a lot of powerful information and revelation in that book. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 6 says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And this, if I'm not mistaken, that was a command that was given by God himself to let all the angels worship him. Verse 8 says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Listen to that again. "But unto the Son," that's Jesus, "he saith, Thy throne, O God," and who's speaking here? This is God speaking. "But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." Matthew 14:33 says, "Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God." And we see that a lot in the New Testament when Jesus was doing a lot of his miracles after he healed people and they came into that realization of who was standing before them. There was no question. They fell on their knees and they worshiped the Lord Jesus because they knew that he was God. They recognized his power, his authority, his deity. Revelations 1:18 says, this is Jesus speaking, "I have the keys of death and Hades." That is an authority figure. He holds the keys of death and Hades. Philippians 2:9 through 11 says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. So that talks a little bit about who Jesus is, and it very much confirms and reveals his deity and his authority. So how does the blood operate? I found a really good resource, and I will copy this link for you all, or I will share it in the show notes. It's taken from sharefaith.com, and it's entitled 30 Things the Blood of Jesus Does. So just drawing from that list, a few of the things that the blood does, or a few of the ways that the blood operates, is one, it pays our debt. Our debt is paid. What is that debt? Our debt of sin. And everything that sin entails, sadness, sickness, infirmities, disease, oppression, strongholds, torment, death, the list goes on. So the blood paid our debt. That's if it's activated. How do we activate the blood? The Bible says, if you confess your sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive. It also says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. So it has to do with confessing, accepting the Lord Jesus, and accepting what he did for us on the cross, accepting that blood verbally, mentally, spiritually, accepting what that blood signifies, what it meant when that blood was shed for us. Our debt is paid, according to Hebrews 9:28. Two, we are forgiven. We've received redemption, Ephesians 1:7. Three, we're spared from God's wrath. Four, we're justified, according to Romans 5:9. Five, we are spiritually alive, according to John 6:53. We are cleansed, according to 1 John 1:7. We've been given power to overcome the enemy, Revelations 12:11. And I just want to read that one really quick. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Galatians 3:13 tells us, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." So he became a curse for us when he died on the cross. "For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." So our healing is in the blood, activated by the blood of Jesus. I want to recap something from Isaiah 53 verse 5. And this is a very common verse that says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Now this largely applies to our spiritual condition being healed and made whole, but it can also apply to physical healing. But that's if the Lord desires. People are miraculously healed. People do receive divine healing physically and in the physical realm. But the thing that really needs healing above all is the condition of our heart, that condition of sin. That is truly the thing that needs atonement, because our physical conditions can be healed. But if our hearts are not healed, the time that we spend on this earth is minimal in comparison to the time that we have in eternity. So we can be healed from ailments here on earth. But what goes even further, what stretches out even longer, is our healing spiritually. And because of the stripes, the blows that Jesus received during that time, that redeemed us. It restored us. It paid our debt for us to be healed spiritually from moral decay, spiritual disease, and sickness. So I just want to encourage you all during this time, with remembering what Jesus did for us, we can find comfort and rest and peace in the presence of God, even in the midst of our trials. I see where prophecy, biblical prophecy, is being unfolded right before our eyes. I truly believe that it's significant of the end times. It is a pandemic that is affecting our lives in the physical sense, but it's also a call and a stir for us physically, spiritually rather, to see that we are not in control of anything, that in the blink of an eye, life can truly change. Nothing is certain. The next moment is not even certain. But what is sure is the living God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves his people. He is faithful to his people. Even when tragedy strikes, we have an assurance that goes beyond the physical. We have an assurance that goes beyond death, and that is a promise. So I encourage you all, for those of you who know the power of the Lord Jesus, share that truth with those around you. As people are looking for comfort, they're looking for truth, they're looking for rest and peace, share the light that you have. And for those of you who may not know the Lord Jesus, he is real and he is available to all those who seek him and call on his name. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. The Lord Jesus is capable and he is able. He holds the power to forgive sins. If you call upon his name, now is the time. As the next second isn't promised, as tomorrow is not promised, one thing is sure, is that our healing, our spiritual healing, is activated by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to pray with you all before we conclude today. Father God, we thank you for the blood that paid for everything we owed. We thank you for what the blood signifies and the life in the blood. God, we need that healing life for our minds, our hearts, and our physical bodies. I repent on behalf of myself, on behalf of this nation, on behalf of this planet, Lord God. You said that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, that you would hear us and that you would heal our land. Lord God, we know that there are many things that we as a people need to turn from. But God, I just ask for mercy during this time. You know the lives and the aspects of our lives that have been affected by this virus. Lord God, I'm asking you for mercy on all of those who are hurting and suffering, for every single person who is affected, for those who are hanging on to life by threads even now, for those who are in economic turmoil. God, help us to turn to you, Lord. Help us to even learn the lessons during this very hard time. Let us turn to you, Lord God, and be softened to you, because you are our only sure thing. You are our only anchor. Have mercy on us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Until next time. That's it for today, but the journey continues. Visit shesmarked.com for more episodes and to check out the Marked Life blog. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe, tell a friend, and share. Remember, the word tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. As you go through this week, remember to walk as children of light.